Welcome back. Arthur Idala is a great criminal defense attorney. A criminal defense attorney. Oh, it is a fascinating life these guys have. What they see, what they hear. They got clients. Their lives might be coming undone all around them, and then they come to the rescue. They often do. They are remarkable. You see him on the Fox News Channel quite a bit. He's a contributor there. Very widely known here in New York City. Oh, by the way, actually nationally, because he's representing right now Rudy Giuliani, former mayor and President Trump's own lawyer. Okay, that's big stuff. Rudy Giuliani is now, in my opinion, being harassed by the Department of Justice, and he went to one of the very best in the country to represent him. Where do you go when you're a great lawyer and you need a great lawyer? You go to a greater lawyer, Arthur Idala. No, he's fantastic, and he's a good friend. So I think you'll enjoy the conversation. It's part one of two because we go in a lot of fascinating directions, and you'll see he's a very charismatic, likable, funny guy in addition to being a really effective lawyer and attorney. All right, so folks, the MyPillow guy, all right? He's fantastic. Mike Lindell, 2 years of his life creating that MyPillow. Well, now he's done it again. He created the My Slippers. Yep, a great pair of slippers. My Slippers, they're called. I'm wearing them right now. Honest, and they are the softest, most comfortable slippers ever. They're like a classic, great-looking pair of moccasins made with super high-quality suede leather, lined with cozy faux fur over the same soft foam that Mike puts in his pillows. Mike also added a special impact gel to put a little spring in your step. You can wear them indoors, outdoors, wherever you like. You'll feel like you're walking on a MyPillow all day long. And there is, for a limited time only, a whopping 40% discount off the My Slippers. 40%. Mike is committed to making Americans as comfortable as possible all day long. Take my word for it, these are the most comfortable slippers that exist. My whole family has them now, extended family. As I pointed out, do yourself a favor, go to MyPillow.com right now, MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listeners square. Use that promo code GK, my initials, GK. You'll get a huge discount on a ton of other MyPillow stuff. The Giza bed sheets, dream bed sheets, by the way. The mattress topper, the MyPillow mattress topper, and the MyPillow towel sets. Very, very fluffy. There's an 800 number. 800-975-3589. 800-975-3589. Use that promo code GK. You should do it now. You should support the podcast. You should support Mike Lindell and all the great things that are happening. The number, once again, 800-975-3589. Use that promo code GK. Appreciate it so much. And now stand by for my conversation with a great criminal defense attorney, former prosecutor, by the way, Arthur Idala. Where are you?
I am in my law office on 45th Street and Fifth Avenue.
In Manhattan or Brooklyn?
In Manhattan. I basically have two like full-time offices. One's in Brooklyn and one's in Manhattan. But depending on what's going on in the world and who needs me where, that makes the determination of where I am.
So it'll be real quick, the life of a lawyer, your background, and just some of those questions I love to ask about the guilt or innocence of how people get themselves in trouble, all that kind of stuff. We've talked about a lot of it before.
I was going to say, Greg, I'm not worried.
Hey.
Man, you, I'd love to do a podcast with you. You're a busy mofo, man. Damn, you're always working.
It's great. I know. You got to keep at it. Thank you. Hey, listen, did you watch the debate last night, by the way, the New York one mayoral debate?
I did not watch the debate last
night. Neither did I. It was a Zoom call. It seemed like no excuse for you to do it on Zoom. Do you like anybody? I mean, what do you think is going to happen here?
I mean, the guy who I'm looking forward, who I hate to say this, but is the worst of the least of the, whatever that term is, least of all evils is Eric Adams, because, he's been around long enough. He's a former cop. Hopefully that means something. He knows how the city works. He's pretty much down to earth. So that's, although I hear about Catherine Garcia is good things. Everyone who's worked with her or been around her says she's extremely competent and extremely efficient and knows how to get things done. So, but yeah. I don't think she's got a shot. And Yang, I wouldn't know if I tripped over him. And I don't know if he knows anything about the city, you know, and how it works and how it runs, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't know. I think it's still up. I think it's still up for anyone's grab. It's up for grabs for anyone to surge at the last minute. So.
So, Arthur, you are a criminal defense attorney, correct?
Yes, sir. But I'm the managing partner. What I spend more than half my time on now is being a managing partner of a law firm, because we have all in, including people we're associated with, like 20 lawyers. We have about 250 cases.
What do you have to do, like, as the managing partner? People understand what a lawyer does, but what does a managing partner do?
Well, basically, number one, I'm keeping a handle on all of the cases and what their status is, and basically what the next court date is and what that particular date is on for, and what we need to how we need to prepare for it, and which lawyer and which legal team is assigned to completing the task, and to make sure that the individual lawyer who's assigned to that case is using all the resources at his or her disposal within the law firm. So we're very lucky to have two retired judges in our team, Judge Barry Kamens, who's the named partner in the firm, and Judge John Leventhal, who just stepped off of the appellate division, which is an appellate judge, but he was 12 years before that a trial judge. So these two human beings have a lot of knowledge between those ears of theirs, and I want to make sure that all of the lawyers here are tapping into the knowledge of the two of them, as well as all of us. You know, I'm no spring chicken anymore, so I've been around for a while, to make sure we get the best result for our client. I mean, ultimately, whether Marianne Bertuna, who's my wife, who's also the name partner, is doing one of her mega house closings, or Imran Ansari is doing one of his big civil litigation cases, you know, we're all in this together, and ultimately it's to get the best result for the client. Make sure that the client who's buying that $10 million townhouse is happy with the results, and make sure the person whose lawsuit we're either suing on their behalf or defending, that they're really happy with the results. So, you know, we have a deep bench, and my job is to, number one, keep my eye on the calendar. Number two, to assign the cases to the most appropriate attorney within the firm. And then number three, to make sure we're all working in some capacity on every case in here, because that's, in my opinion, the best way to achieve the best results.
Somebody calls you, they're in trouble, they've done something wrong.
What's accused of doing something wrong.
Accused of doing something wrong. Yes, let's make it clear. But you can still say they're in trouble, even if they're innocent.
Yes.
Generally speaking, what is the first thing, the first words out of your mouth? Is there something you tell them right away?
Stay calm. First thing I say, because they're usually a nervous wreck, right? So, and you know, whether it's the police are at the door, literally. You know, that happened the other night when I was at dinner, 8:30 at night. I get a call, you know, literally the police are at the door. They want to seize my son's computer because they think there's improper things on his computer. And, you know, the mom is on the phone with me and she's literally like hyperventilating. And I'm just like, okay, just stay calm. Let's just take a deep breath and let's take it nice and easy. And, you know, or even when people get a letter in the mail telling them that, you know, they need to, or it's a subpoena, and they need to provide certain information. And you'd be surprised, Greg, of the caliber of people who I've encountered in, you know, in the highest level of our society. And, you know, they're usually pretty freaked out when I first meet them or first speak to them. And, you know, in the book that I'll never write, the first time I met Lawrence Taylor, you know, he had a tear running down his face because he thought he had gotten arrested for soliciting a prostitute, which is a relatively minor crime. He didn't know until a moments before I met him that he was actually being charged with rape. And he knew the ramifications of that and the potential penalty for that. So, you know, the first words out of my mouth to him was like, stay calm. I got you. I've done this many times before. It's all going to be okay. And for him, thank God, it turned out to be very okay, both in criminal court and civil court. He got fantastic results. So that's usually what you try to do, Greg. There is a part of my job when I'm doing the criminal law that definitely encompasses being some form of a psychologist. Because when your liberty is being threatened, and as you know, when someone is charged with a crime, I mean, that's what's really going on, is you've done something wrong and we're going to take your liberty away. Unlike civil law, when it's, we're going to take your money away. You know, you drove your car and you weren't paying attention. You hit a pedestrian and now we're suing you for $1 million. That's the financial thing. And people could usually deal with losing finances. But when you think about losing your liberty, and I'm going to be in jail for my birthday and for my child's communion and for my mother's death and all of that stuff, that twists people in a very different direction, understandably so. So you initially just try to get them to calm down, because a lot of times clients are very helpful to their own case. Going back to Lawrence Taylor, there's no client that I've had who was more helpful to me during a trial than Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor, and I represented a man when the huge crane fell in New York City and killed 7 people. His name was William Rapetti. He was the rigger. He's the guy who was in charge of putting the crane up, like actually putting the crane up. So he had to explain to me everything about cranes. So he was very helpful. But Lawrence Taylor, because he could relate to a jury, and what works for them and what plays with them and what they can relate to better than I can, who's maybe a little jaded because I've been in a courtroom since I'm 25 years old. I need the client to be on our side, to be a team together, and we all work together to achieve the best result that we can.
You made me think of a couple of things there. Let me just... it's wild, and I have thought about that before. You know, you're walking in, and it's the worst day of their life, or they perceive it to be the worst day of their life. And for you, it's Tuesday morning. It just always, that always fascinated me about lawyers. You know what I mean? Like, you're in proximity to these people who are really, really losing it. And for you, this is, you know, this is life. And it's fantastic. You need people like that who are dispassionate and aren't going through hell with you, although you are with them. But do you know what I mean?
There are times, Greg, when you're correct. I'm walking into court and it's just a Tuesday morning. Because I know for the person standing next to me, the case is just being adjourned, it's just being delayed, so we can still figure things out, we can go through the evidence. But I have no problem telling you, there are other days when I go into court, and I alluded to the crane case earlier, when we went in to hear the verdict, I have no problem admitting that my client was much more cool, calm, and collected than I was. Because by the end of that trial, I knew my client was factually innocent. That he did nothing wrong on that day, and 7 people perished. And he got very injured himself. And all I was thinking of is, wow, if an innocent man goes to jail on my watch, this is going to be horrible. And he was very calm. And after they read the verdict, and I got to hear not guilty, I think it was 42 times, which was unbelievable. And the judge left the bench. I then asked the courtroom was packed with people and the media. And I asked the court officer if I could go out the back way where the judge went out for a moment. And she said, sweetheart, you could go anywhere you want, because they were really rooting for us. And Greg, I went back there. I saw a door. I opened the door and it was a broom closet. I went into the broom closet and I fell on my hands and knees. And I was crying like I haven't cried since like a 12-year-old, and I fell off my bike and chipped my front tooth. Like, because the pressure was so enormous, because here's a guy who I knew didn't do anything wrong. And now he's facing 42 counts. They're all murder counts. And, you know, if God forbid the verdict went the other way and he was going to go in jail, I was going to have a very difficult time with that. So, you know, there are times when, yes, you could, it's just a Tuesday morning and you're dispassionate going into court. But then there are other times when my heart is beating through my chest, pumping the mornings before I do a summation or do an opening statement or do a cross-examination. If you ask me the one secret to whatever little success I've had, that's probably the word I would use, is passion. But you also have to temper it with reality and being logical and the logistics of the whole situation and of the day. you know, it's an interesting career, I'll tell you that much. I very rarely am I bored, if ever.
So. Wow. That's amazing. It's totally amazing. Wow. What a moment. I'm happy for you. Hey, one thing about LT or anybody who's in that similar situation, it made me think of something. I can kind of see that. So at first I could see somebody being upset, like, oh, this is going to be embarrassing. Oh, this is going to be, but then when you finally find out, or when it shifts to your freedom is on the line, then you go into a different kind of mode. You know, look, I was accused once, and the first thing, you know, I was just, oh my God, this is like, I just thought of it from, I was embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. And then when I found out it was like wait a second, this is a criminal matter. I stopped being embarrassed, and I just became incredibly calm and like was able to make very good decisions that to this day I'm proud of. You know what I mean? It took me to a weird higher level in a strange way.
But and maybe you could attribute some of that to your military training and you know, when the bullets are flying, right? Panic is not really in your best interest. But a lot of people don't do that, and they go into panic mode. And look, I got a call, I guess it was last week, from one of my clients. It's a female defendant, and she started off the phone call fine, and then she started to tell me, you know, ask me, am I going to be all right? Now, that's a hard question to answer when someone is, you know, in serious trouble, and this woman's in serious trouble. And then she went on to tell me that for Mother's Day, her 11-year-old and 9-year-old wanted to make her card for Mother's Day, and they wanted to download a couple of pictures of her. So they went online and they Googled their mom, and they saw all the criminal charges. And even 11-year-old and 9-year-old knows what that means. And since that day, they have slept in her bed with her every night, holding her hand and begging her not to go to work because they're afraid she's not going to come back, because these kids know that she could go to jail. Greg, you know what that does to now? And now while she's telling me, now she's hysterically crying. And, you know, that definitely puts another level of pressure on me, you know, hearing about the children and hearing about, yeah, they're sleeping in the bed and holding the hands. And so I just said to her, I said, look, we got to go through the evidence together. There's a lot of it. Some of it is definitely helpful for you. Some of it, we're going to have to figure it out. But the only thing I can promise you is that I will do everything in my capacity, all the talents I have, all the resources I have, to make sure that you get the best result possible. I'm not a liar. I'm not going to say, yeah, you got nothing to worry about, or you're definitely not going to jail. You know, it's a serious crime. It's a paper crime. She didn't hurt anybody. It's got to do with, you know, money and paper and those kinds of crimes. But, you know, it's rough. And there's some expression, a problem shared is a problem halved, which means you take on some of that. So, yes, there are some nights when I come home and my wife, Marianne, even though she's my partner, probably, you know, bears a little bit of the brunt of the anxiety that I have and the pressure that I have sitting on my shoulders. So, you know, and look, let's be honest, Greg, I just got retained by former Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, who, you know, he's not in a good place. I mean, you never want to be under investigation by the Southern District of New York, period, amen, end of story. And, you know, to say I don't feel the pressure would be an absolute lie. I mean, besides knowing Mr. Giuliani personally for many years, because my dad basically was his adversary in the 1980s, when my dad was a trial attorney and Rudy was the U.S. attorney of the Southern District. You know, I appreciate what he did for the city of New York in terms of, changing some things around. And I know in my heart of hearts, he's only under investigation because of one of his clients who happened to be the president of the United States. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure there, not only for Mr. Giuliani, but on a bigger plane, what took place there with the search warrant, that affects all of us. That affects our way of life. That affects the ability of the government to just start spying on lawyers and spying on the president of the United States' lawyer, no matter who the president is. So, yeah, I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. I'll tell you that much.
Well, you got such a great you know, I mean, look, you're obviously, you know what you're doing. You're great at it. But you also have always had a kind of a happy-go-lucky attitude about it all. Comes through on TV, comes through right now. What do you attribute that to? I mean, like, not everybody. What is it? Were you an athlete in high school?
Nope, not at all. I mean, I tried to be. I mean, I played lacrosse all 4 years of high school. I wasn't very good, but I mean, my teammates were my dearest friends. My coach, I still speak to. I went to dinner with him the other day. I was really going to attribute it to something. I would attribute it to my grandparents. I was very lucky, Greg, to grow up with all four of my grandparents. And, you know, and since you mentioned television, about 11 years ago now, 12 years ago, something like that, as you know, I was on Fox regularly, and I got a pretty big offer to have my own television show with a very, very legitimate household name personality who was sponsoring it and was pushing it. But it meant I had to move to California. And, I mean, it was a big gig, you know, it was a big contract and all of that stuff. And the reason why I did not accept it was because I didn't want to move to California. It had nothing really to do with me. It had to do with my son, Luca, who at the time was 4 years old. And I was aware then in my very early 40s how significant an impact my grandparents had on me. And Luca had all four of his healthy, vibrant grandparents with him here in New York, as he still does, God bless him, today at the age of 14. And I said, you know what? I cannot rob that from him, because my grandparents had such a tremendous effect on me that, and it was, you know, they were the Depression, right? They lived through the Depression. I remember my mother's mother telling me on Friday she would be happy if she could get her hands on a couple of eggs and potatoes. And, you know, that was the Friday dinner, was potatoes and eggs. And Greg, because that was the cheapest things you could get your hands on. Meanwhile, my mother's father was a lawyer. He worked for the Corporation Council in the city of New York, but they didn't get paid anything in those days either. So growing up around people who really suffered, my dad woke up on Christmas morning one year and he got a ball. How much does a ball cost? I think back then it cost a penny. Like, that was his whole Christmas thing under the tree, was a ball. If you look at the lives we lead now, it's incredible. Like, the riches that we have. And I don't mean, you know, being millionaires. I just mean, you know, you get to choose what brand of coffee you want, what brand of tea you want. My grandmother would go crazy if she knew how much money I spent on water. She'd be like, why are you drinking water out of a bottle when it comes right out of the tap? Right? So I try to keep them in the front of my mind. You know, I'm named after my father's father, who was the boxing judge, who your dad talks about every time he sees me. So I definitely keep the good fortunes that not only have I have, but those, not even in my immediate family, but my extended family, my law firm and all of that, and who's going on vacation here in the Bahamas and all, and God bless. So yes, I keep in the front of my mind how fortunate we are. And I try to maintain a happy-go-lucky attitude. And I'll be honest with you, I think some of it is chemical. I think sometimes that's just the way you're born. I think my dad has a pretty jovial attitude. I know my grandfather, Artie Idala, definitely did. So try to keep things in perspective. Joe Torre always said, don't get too high with the highs or get too low with the lows. You know, try to stay somewhere in that middle area. And that's, you know, where I try to do. I'm not going to lie. The last murder case I tried, when the jury went out after my summation, they were 11-1 not guilty. That was on Monday. On Friday, they came back and found them guilty. Was I pretty pissed off that whole weekend? Now, the punchline is it was reversed on appeal. So ultimately, you know, the result I was striving for was achieved. But no, I mean, I was pretty pissed off. But, you know, you have to keep it in perspective, Greg, as do you. And you went through that rough time. And, you know, you've gone through transitional periods going from one television station to the other. It's the same kind of skill set. You just keep it in perspective. Count the blessings of your health and your family around you and the support that you have, and just do the best you can with what you got.
Love it. Hey, real quick though, you mentioned the TV show that you were on the verge of getting, and I didn't quite follow. You didn't take it, and why didn't you take it?
I didn't take it because I was not going to move to California.
Okay.
And take my son away from his grandma.
All right, sorry, that was okay.
It didn't have anything to do with me. I was just like, you know, because you asked me why I have this happy-go-lucky attitude, and I just said, it's, you know, it's got to do with my grandparents. And I'm like, I'm going to rob my son of something that was so important to who I am today. I said, I just don't feel comfortable, you know, taking that away from him.
No. I didn't realize the show was in California. I missed that. Okay, good. So where'd you go to law school?
I went to the City University of New York School of Law, which is in Queens, which at the time was like kind of just getting up on its feet. And this week, I got to think it's number one in U.S. News and World Reports for, I think, placing people in public service. And that's the motto of the school, is law in the, and it's got to do with law and the service of human needs. And I knew I wanted to be a prosecutor pretty early on because, number one, my daddy was a prosecutor under Frank Hogan. But I also knew I wanted to be in the courtroom, because what I really wanted to do, Greg, was I wanted to be an actor. When I was in Poly Prep, he asked me if I was an athlete. I wasn't an athlete, but I was the best actor in the school. I got the award, and it was a whole big deal. They did the show The Music Man, so I could play The Music Man, which Hugh Jackman is about to play on Broadway when it reopens. So I really was into the theater, and I wound up going to college at SUNY Purchase, which was a big theater school, is a big theater school. Edie Falco went there, Stanley Tucci went there, Wesley Snipes went there. But then when I got into school and I started taking these acting courses, I don't consider myself an intellect, but I was like, I kind of want to know what happened in World War II. I kind of want to know what this Cold War thing is all about. And yeah, it's great going to movement class and improv class. I need to know a little bit more about the world, the unification of Italy. So I really changed my major into political science. And what do you do when you're graduating from a theater school? I'm like, well, now where am I going to go? And I really didn't want to have to say the words, would you like mashed potatoes, rice, or beans with your order? Because, you know, you always have to be a waiter if you're going to be an actor. So I decided, let me take the LSAT. And I went from taking the LSAT. I interned at the Manhattan DA's office. I really enjoyed that. And luckily, Charlie Joe Hines gave me a job in Brooklyn in the early 90s when crime was at its peak in the history of the city of New York. So they just needed people in the courtroom. And Joe Hines picked up the phone. He called my supervisor and he said, get Idala in the courtroom. He's got it in his DNA. I've watched his dad, you know, let him loose. And at a very young age, they gave me a lot of responsibility. And I was very fortunate. I mean, I tried 13 felony trials in one calendar year. That's a big, that's a lot of experience.
Wow.
So, and it was great. I got a lot of satisfaction out of it.
You speak fluent Italian?
Pretty good. I'm pretty good. I've been on the record in Italy. I've spoken to a judge on the record in Italy. I can get anything I want. I mean, I probably speak like I'm about a 6-year-old or 5-year-old, but you know, I get it. The Italian language to speak grammatically perfect is difficult, but to get your communicate effectively, that's fine. I still own a little piece of a restaurant in Milan. I have lawyers I do some little cases with here and there, and I love my Italian heritage and culture and my connection to Italy. I've been there over 100 times, and as soon as I get the green light, which I think I just got, I'll be heading over there hopefully in July.
Have to talk to him again because a fascinating guy, and his answers are so interesting and colorful. Appreciate Arthur Idala very, very much. How about that? Representing Rudy Giuliani, who's being investigated by the Department of Justice. It looks to me to be very unfair. So Arthur will be back soon. And again, our thanks to our sponsor, MyPillow. They've created the My Slippers. And take my advice. Go to MyPillow.com right now. Click on that radio listener's square. MyPillow.com, the radio listener's square. Click that and put the promo code GK in. Those are my initials. And you'll get huge discounts off the slippers and all the other great MyPillow items. There's an 800 number as well. 800-975-3589. 800-975-3589. Use that promo code GK. And you'll be off and running. 800-975-3589, promo code GK. It's worth it, it's beautiful, and you'll be supporting a great business. Businesses, actually. Folks, to be continued, and thank you very, very much for listening to the Greg Kelly Podcast.